We have a team sale update after Adam Silver took questions from the media, and then David Walker makes his weekly appearance to discuss his thoughts on the Charlotte Hornets' three straight victories. That's all today on Locked On Hornets.
We're Locked On Hornets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
In a minute, cuz we live. We live.
It's Locked On Hornets. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's your team every day. Thank you for making us your first listen. We're free and available anywhere you get your podcast, including YouTube, where if you're watching YouTube, you can see me, Walker Mayo. You can see Doug Branson. You can read a Substack, Every Hornets Box Score on everyhornetsboxscore.com. And also David contributes every now and then to everyhornetsboxscore.com. And he is also the Caesar of sneakers, where you're starting to get very, very low on the amount of titles you can give to David, but this is a very good one. And I'm glad that you keep being creative enough to find some
two?
Of these different titles. So, yes, you've got more. We'll get to some of the other nicknames as David makes his weekly appearance. We'll see how many we've got in us. Let's talk about this team sale update, though, first, because as Adam Silver took questions from the media in a press conference, as the season comes to an end, Tim Bontemps put out a tweet. He was there during media availability for the commissioner. And this is what he had to say. Quote, Adam Silver says Michael Jordan has indicated to him that if he sells his majority stake in the Hornets, he will remain an alternate governor and will still have an active interest in the future of the league and will be part of it going forward. Which, David, it feels like the NBA is very motivated to keep Michael Jordan somehow within the association. And this is something we talked about even after those reports came true. But I wonder just how settled Adam Silver is, or just comforted that, okay, even if you're going to sell majority stake, at least Michael is making it clear to us that he's still going to be involved in the NBA with some kind of ownership stake within the Charlotte Hornets. Now, I don't know how much power he's going to have. I bet Adam Silver wants him to have quite a bit of power. They want to go to Michael Jordan on some of the stuff to help govern the actual association itself. What do you make of the team update that Tim Bontemps had for us on Twitter?
Yeah, I think it's good news if you're a Hornets fan, to be honest. I mean, my big worry around all this was that somehow MJ could, you know, be off the table as a majority or minority owner. And, you know, you're always worried about the Hornets moving again, to be honest with you. We have such, you know, PTSD from that whole thing. And Doug, you mentioned it when this news broke, like that would be the end of the NBA in Charlotte. So like that's worst case scenario. Doesn't sound like that is happening right now, but I think it's good for MJ to still be involved, for the NBA to want him to still be involved. And I think it's good for Charlotte for that he's still involved with the team, or would still be involved with the team. You know, he's done a lot of good here in the community, which you guys have covered. And so for me, just as someone who enjoys having the NBA here, also enjoys having MJ be a part of it. Yeah. I think that's good news, and that's what you want to hear. And it sounds like, you know, those lines of communication are staying open as far as what's going on, how much they want MJ to be involved, Silver's desire to have him still be involved in the league. So, I mean, I think that's all good news as far as this is concerned.
Doug, what do you make of the team update there?
Well, I think that it would be a good guess that if Michael Jordan were an alternate governor, that it would mean that the team would not move. But I don't think we should assume that. He won't have a majority stake. And so if enough people that did have a majority stake could come together and make a big decision like that, there, you know, there could be a scenario where Michael Jordan couldn't do anything to stop such a move, or could take plausible deniability in any kind of move. So I don't think we should assume any of that.
Sure.
Also, Michael Jordan is telling Adam Silver this, but do we all think that Michael Jordan is the dad from Jerry Maguire? Is his word as strong as oak? And then he goes back on it. Who knows? You know, we don't know how this all is going to shake out, but I think Adam Silver is smart to get out there in front and say, all right, this is what MJ told me, and maybe that locks MJ in a little bit. I don't know what that does to the negotiations that he's currently having right now, and I think this does indicate, to me at least, this indicates that we are moving towards some kind of sale. Now, what it looks like, what the structure of it is, and what Michael Jordan's involvement is, I think is still something to be determined. But they've tried to, the jump management team and the team itself has tried to knock us off the scent a little bit. But I think this thing is happening.
But if he's going to, if they're coming out saying he's still going to be involved, he's still going to be a voice, that would indicate to me that he's going to be something more than a Jay-Z level owner. You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. Like,
Well, an alternate governor. Yeah. I mean, that means you're an alternate and you're a governor.
I was going to ask, is there a definition of that? Is that a rank? You know, is that, I mean, is that an official?
Well, yeah, title? Yeah. I mean, the governor is the sort of the person that would be the representative for the team to the NBA when they do these meetings. So, right. Alternate governor, I assume, would be if Gabe, you know, if Gabe got sick, if he needed a day off, you know, you just call MJ and say, all right,
if he's in Bali or something. Yeah.
Well, right, exactly. And Doug, he'd be the alternate in that, is what you said, if he was alternate governor.
So that's
governor?
What alternate governor means, right? It means that you are not the primary governor, but you are the alternate governor.
Right. I know what alternate means. Yeah.
100%. Thank you. No, we've got a full breakdown here on Locked On Hornets. Follow us at Locked On Hornets on Twitter for more updates.
I'll look it up. Don't worry. I'll look it up. I will access artificial intelligence to tell you what all of this means.
No more AI in my life. You tried to introduce it with Mem when we were using that little document, whatever we were doing, and it worked fine. But you're trying to go in typical Doug fashion. He is dumping head first into all of the AI. This whole podcast is going to be run by robots that sound a lot like us. That's what's going to happen.
That's the dream. The less work, save money.
That's what we've been working for this whole time.
That's right. One thing I did want to mention before we move on and talk about David's thoughts on some of these wins, it's the fact that there are a couple things at play here that would make this franchise more valuable. With one, if the Hornets get the first overall pick. We've talked about that quite a bit with Victor Wembanyama. That is absolutely going to have that value spike. The other thing now is the fact that gambling looks like it's going to be legal in North Carolina, which is going to be very interesting in its effect on how much this franchise is going to be.
MJ might finally move here.
Well, the thing is, right, that's the MJ's thing. That's exactly the joke we made on WFNZ. That's exactly right.
Good.
And so, so there's a couple of different things that I'm interested in how MJ is going to operate here. So is he's still going to sell it, but he's just going to sell it for a higher price because of this timing. You know, maybe you just anticipate that it is going to be legal because that's how it looks. And it's not official, right, David? I'm not wrong on that. I don't know if you've been keeping up with
the gambling. No, I believe it's now to the Senate. It passed something in the state, which it has done before. I think it's gotten to the goal line before. And then.
Right. But it looks like it's going to happen. The NC House debating yesterday, the online sports gambling bill, officials said North Carolina could gain $60 to $80 million annually in tax revenue. Members are debating whether gambling on college sports should be allowed. UNC Asheville, by the way, is the one that said, nope, we're too good for this gambling stuff. So they're the only university in North Carolina that you wouldn't be able to bet on. Yeah. And anyways, so
ironically, the closest to a casino too. So
yeah, hilarious. Right. Exactly. But so those are a couple things at play as far as how much the value will be for this franchise. And I'm interested in if Michael wants to hold on to more of a stake or if he wants to sell more because of it, if there's any kind of compromise in that regard. But I think that is something at play as we see these negotiations take place. And just how much Michael will be. And is he a super alternate governor? Is he just an alternate governor? Is he a minority alternate governor? There's going to be a lot of alternate titles.
I got some info for you. All right. So an alternate governor is, it's really, we're doing name game here because the NBA, for reasons of racial insensitivity, is moving away from the term owner and minority owner. So they have moved these into governors and alternate governors. And so alternate governors are really just minority shareholders in the team as it's constructed. And a lot of, you know, if you look, I mentioned this in my brief on this whole situation. If you look, this would not be a unique situation with the Hornets having, you know, multiple people with larger stakes in the team. There are, I think, more than 10 teams that don't have one single governor. That have a group of people in various roles. And I'm not talking about sort of the dinky, like the Jay-Z example, where they have like 0.03 or like the, I mean, I think Nelly is like,
Nelly is the one.
Nelly's is somewhat of a shareholder of this team. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people who have a significant enough stake where they could be in the room when things happen. And several organizations are set up like this. So this would not be unusual. And the alternate, the person that is alternate governor that has enough shareholder stake to make some, to at least be consulted on decisions, would be someone that could step in if need be for, you know, some kind of NBA interaction, which, you know, I think the NBA wants Michael's voice in the room. And I think the players, honestly, would like Michael's voice in the room. I think he's advocated on both sides of this. We've seen instances where he's come in on the side of the governors, and we've seen instances where he's come in on the side of the players. So, you know, I think he's a great voice in that way, especially with CBA negotiations taking place right now.
Well, just some house cleaning real quickly. The final vote is set today to see if gambling will be legal in North Carolina on sports. And, you know, so that would be interesting to see how it would affect the Charlotte Hornets. All right, let's actually talk about the team, the on-court product, coming up next on the Locked On Hornets podcast.
Don't go to sleep on the Hornets just yet.
We'll get David's thoughts on the last three wins, the two against the Mavericks, and the last victory that you had against the Oklahoma City Thunder. This episode is brought to you by Ultimate Pro Basketball GM. It's the coolest game that you'll play in a long time. I always thought that I could be a great NBA GM, but as it turns out, it's really not all that easy. If you've had the same thought and have fantasized about managing your own basketball franchise, go and download Ultimate Pro Basketball GM right now. The game allows you to manage every strategic aspect of a franchise, playing through seasons and leading your franchise and fans to glory as you build a historic dynasty. And in the simulation, you're responsible for dealing with challenging personalities, hiring the right coaches and the assistants, trading and training the right players, making draft picks, and navigating your franchise through free agency and the draft and all the ups and downs that come with it. Locked On Hornets listeners too get a 100% free boost to their franchise when using the promo code Locked On in their game store. So make sure to check it out. Download the game. Just visit probasketballgm.com. Scan the code or look it up on the app stores. That's probasketballgm.com. Ultimate Basketball GM. Start your dynasty today. More Locked On Hornets coming up.
Is Locked On Hornets.
Adam Silver had Ahmad Rashad up on stage, and he used his phone to like body scan Ahmad Rashad, and then they like inserted a digital version of Ahmad Rashad into the highlight. And wow. So I'm looking at this and going, just fix my league pass. I don't want to be in a highlight. I would just like to actually watch the highlight without my application logging me out, freezing, dropping all of the time. Fix my league pass before you insert me in the game, please and thank you.
It's time for more of the Locked On Hornets podcast.
Before we get David's thoughts on the last three victories for the Charlotte Hornets, Doug, why don't you update us on some of the 10-day, the two-way contracts that have been handed out here by the Hornets as well in the last few days?
Well, we mentioned the 10-day contract given to Xavier Sneed, because we all have the need for Sneed. And the Hornets had the need. But I don't know exactly if they had the need for Sneed or if they signed Sneed to the 10-day in order to get the roster to 15, which allowed them to extend the number of games they could play Théo Maledon under the rules of his particular contract structure. But they've also recently, according to Shams, the Charlotte Hornets are signing guard Kobe Simmons on a two-way contract out of their NBA G League affiliate Greensboro Swarm. So Kobe Simmons getting the other two-way designation, and may, you know, we're getting down to the wire here, and veterans are sitting right now, so may get some playing time. Do any of you remember where Kobe Simmons went to college?
I think Arizona, right?
That is correct.
Yeah, Kobe. I like Kobe Simmons as the G League guy. He's always one of my favorite summer league guys that we talk about, or Kobe, or the G League guys. I think he's decent. You know, I'd like to see him get some run. It would be very Joe Chile-esque, right, to get him some run, maybe get a bucket, just give him an NBA basket. I don't even know if he's ever scored in the NBA. We can look it up.
Well, he played 32 games with the Memphis Grizzlies in 2017-18.
Okay,
played one game for the Cavs in 2018-19. That doesn't answer your question.
I mean, 32
but,
games.
But he wasn't a lot of games.
Yeah, that would be.
I'll look it up.
I would guess that he did score at least once. We know PJ Washington scored a lot more than once, and that was just in this OKC game alone. He went for 43. David, it was a career high. What have you made of the way that PJ Washington has played, not only against Oklahoma City, but really the last handful of games where he's gone for 20 frequently?
Yeah, I mean, obviously big for PJ, right? And, you know, he's trying to put his stamp on whatever's going to happen in this offseason. I don't think you guys were in too much doubt of what the Hornets would try and do as far as bringing him back. I think they want to have him here. I think he just made more of a statement for that. You guys went over a little bit yesterday, just kind of the roller coaster he's been on really since he's been here. But I do think PJ is one of those guys that not necessarily has more value to other teams, but I think he's a guy that other teams and other people around the league specifically look at and say, man, he would be a really nice piece of a team, right? It's just how far down the hierarchy is he on said team. And, you know, the tricky thing is with a team like the Hornets, it's like you really can't afford to let guys like that go. It's just a tough spot to be in where you're saying, is he going to be a top three player certainly not on a championship team, on a playoff team? I mean, that's what you have to hope, but I don't know that we've seen that level of consistent production. But, you know, as far as the Hornets go, I think it's just more of a acknowledgement that they're probably going to have to do, you know, whatever they need to do to bring him back and continue to make him part of the core and part of the building of this team moving forward. For PJ, it's just awesome to see, you know. I mean, it's been – who did you guys want in that draft? Because you guys talked about that a little bit.
I didn't want PJ. Doug.
I didn't either.
and then quickly turned. I mean, during the preseason, he was awesome. And then his debut, he hit 7 threes in Chicago. He was awesome in his debut. That was his career high for a long time until the Sacramento game a couple years ago. I don't know who was in that draft. We can look it up, but I forget who
I'll tell you who I wanted. It was Nassir Little.
Oh, did you?
Take a big swing on Nassir Little. Well,
people like Nassir. He's not He's not going to get – he's not going to be asking for $20 million on this next contract.
I'd like to see who he is a podcast, because I don't know who was doing it at the time. We've had a couple of roster changes or swaps here, so I don't know who was doing the 2019, like, locked-on draft. We'll have to look that up, too.
Well, it would have been us. I mean, because, you know, the year before is the SGA.
I know. I was big on Dumbuya. I was really big on Dumbuya. It's not one of my finer roses.
I would like to know who I liked more in that draft.
Well, you know who went one spot below PJ Washington?
Brandon Clark I liked a lot. That was somebody I was a real fan of. There was somebody else, too, that I really liked. But
Tyler Hero went 13, went one spot below PJ Washington.
Did not like him either.
And, you know, he's been good for sure. PJ, if just to look at what kind of contract he's asking for, he asked for $20 million. It doesn't mean he's going to get it, but we did talk about him getting close. If you look at the top 61 paid players in the NBA, that's right at literally the $20 million a year mark.
Such a random number. Let's look at the top 61.
Well, I'd go 60, but you have Jared Allen right there at 20 million. So Jared Allen is the 61st highest paid player in the NBA, making 20 million. You go to 70, Clint Capella is 18.7. So can you make PJ Washington? Does it seem reasonable to make him a top 70 paid NBA player? And to me, it does, especially when you're talking about the salary cap rise, when you're talking about some of these rookie contracts that are going to turn into possible $20 million a year type of players. And so for me, you know, David, when you were discussing PJ as a top three guy, that's exactly what Wes was saying yesterday on Wes and Walker. And I think you're paying more for top three guys now, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you're paying 20, especially if you have this top four pick, hopefully it's top four and you don't fall to six, but let's say your top four pick, you have him on a rookie scale deal. So this PJ contract is going to go the length of time that you can pay whoever this top four pick is on a rookie deal. So you can save money there. The big wrench in things is going to be trading Terry, trading Gordon, and Miles Bridges.
Right.
You know, what's going to happen there? That's the big question. Doug, did you look up that draft as well? Did you have thoughts on that and PJ as David?
I got a lot, man. I got lots of thoughts. You know, the Hornets also drafted Cody Martin in that draft. That was the 36th pick in that draft. Bol went 44 to the Heat.
That was your guy. That was my guy.
I think you wanted him at 12. I think we traded in that draft. I think
we traded back.
Yeah. And I think we got Bol Bol in that draft. So now I don't know if the team was
locked on.
Yeah, in the locked on.
That's your reference. Okay. Yeah.
Terrence Mann at 48. That's a good one.
So that draft was tricky, guys. I'm looking at it now. That was the Zion draft, right? And Ja went second. And then after that, it was like, You know, you had RJ Barrett.
I said Kobe White was going to be better than Zion, and I'm not totally out of that yet. I mean, no. Kobe's got some work to do.
But
Zion is opening. Listen. Zion is opening the door, but Kobe's got some work to do.
Oh, yeah.
Availability, right?
That was you also like Jackson Hayes a lot, too, Doug. That was another one of your roses. Yeah,
he got into some off-the-court trouble.
He did.
I think my reasoning for the Nasir Little pick was at that point at 12, it was like, who the hell knows? You know, I don't think anybody knew what was going to happen. You mentioned Hero, Romeo Langford. I like Alexander Walker a lot.
That's somebody I liked.
Okay, so here's the deal with PJ. Yeah, he's improved his game in various ways. He has stayed generally healthy. Even if they gave him $18, $19, $20 million, he's probably not going to lose value. I think at this point it's safe to assume that PJ, and I don't think he's going to get astronomically better, but I think he'll either maintain what he is now or get a little bit better, and that will have some value even if the team wants to move on from him at some point. I think he's going to turn into a movable piece. He's already really been a little bit attractive, maybe too attractive, because the Hornets have really wanted to hold on to him. But I think even if they give him a contract that is of some length in the $20 million range, he will be a player that could be involved. He's not somebody that you're going to be really struggling to move off of if the franchise wants to go into a different direction. And we also have to take into consideration, we don't know for sure if this team sale is going to happen, which means we might be stuck with the current front office structure as it stands right now. And that front office really doesn't believe that they can go out and get any other player that isn't currently under contract that they have an advantage on in terms of re-signing due to the way the CBA is structured. So if you've got a front office that doesn't believe that, then really all you can hope is that they do re-sign these types of PJ Washington players and those players get better, because it is really your only hope.
Yeah, and when you're talking about PJ getting better, you're really just talking about consistency, right? Because you've seen the highs. And if he can somehow string those together, you know, if they could get some veteran presence around this team that can maybe help some of these young guys move forward as they do go into that second contract territory, you know, I don't think it's out of the question. I mean, you're iffy on it because we have a pretty large sample size on PJ right now. We've seen the highs, but as you said yesterday, Walker, you've seen the bomb out game, you know, after the 40-point game, you've seen him just hit the bottom. So that's the question, but the upside is at this point, you know, is too much. I don't think we're in a debate about what they have to do or what they're going to do with that contract.
Well, and here's why I've been championing signing PJ Washington really all season long. I think people have in their head that there needs to be some kind of order where you get your stars, you get your top two or three, you get them on the roster, and then you fill in all the other pieces around them, when that doesn't need to be the case. You can pay PJ $20 million. Your top four pick can possibly live up to the hype, become a star. You use him on a rookie scale contract, and as he's developing, and then when it's time to possibly move off of PJ or give him another contract, then you have a smart rotational piece in place. You have LaMelo, who's going to get his money. That's non-negotiable. Mm-hmm. And then you have whoever else you want to be the next star alongside LaMelo, because I think we all agree it's not really Terry for the future. It's not Gordon for the future. He's only on a one-year contract that we all think he's overpaid. So it's okay to get the other four starters, defenders. It's okay to get those pieces in place too, close to $20 million. That's why I've been happy about this potential signing all year long. David, you got thoughts? Or Doug, you got thoughts?
The fear is, I think a lot of people listening to this show or watching this show remember the last time the Hornets went to the playoffs. And it's been a while. It's been seven seasons now. That is a league.
Longest streak.
Sacramento just clinched their spot in the playoffs.
I can hear the pain in that. There's a lot
of pain. It's tough. It's been rough. Hornets also the only team that has never had a Christmas game. The NBA will probably step in and give them a pity game next year, and that's going to be even sadder.
Let's just talk about all the things they haven't accomplished right now. Let's just get it all out.
But listen, we all remember that playoff year, and then after the playoff year when they disappointed, we looked at the books and went, oh man, all of those individual deals that we all lauded for, you know, for Marvin and for Cody and for Nick and for Kemba.
Batum
was the big anchor deal. That one hurt, but it was all the smaller deals that really backed the books up as well. And so I think that's the fear, that you sign all of these players. It looks like, you know, they're probably going to have to find whatever money for Miles Bridges' return. Okay, you get all these players, and then, you know, you're hoping you get the Wemby pick. You know, then it changes everything. But what if you go back to six and you take someone like, you know, a Jairus Walker that's kind of good, but not going to, you know, transform your franchise. And now you've got, you know, a six seed in the playoffs. You're not going to win a series. You're just right back where you started in 2016. And you've got all this stuff on the books, and maybe you can get off of something, but maybe you can't. And we're right back in this weird cycle. That's the fear.
I get the fear, and I know you're not saying you believe in that. The difference I would tell people that
I don't know what to believe anymore.
It's okay. The thing I would tell people that do fear that, there's a lot of old guys you were paying, and then MKG who got hurt. So
it's different.
PJ's not.
It is
old.
Different.
Yeah, this is different. All right, let's go to the next segment. Let's get to David's thoughts on a little sneak peek he got ahead of the
masses. A sneaker peek.
And that's why you're you coming up next.
Also, I also have Kobe Simmons stats on the other side. So okay. You really want to stick around.
Coming up next, give me the damn graphic, Doug. Give me the graphic.
David
gives us a sneaker peek on a certain movie he got to see last night. He gives us an evaluation, and then we get to Kobe Simmons and all of the stats that come with his performance in recent years. This episode is brought to you by FanDuel. The Final Four, it is here. There's no better time and place to get in on the action than right now with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. That's because FanDuel is giving new customers a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet does not win. Just go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn and sign up today to claim your no-sweat first bet. Then you can wager on everything from the money line to point spreads to which team will be cutting down the net, all on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So don't miss your shot at a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 when you join FanDuel today. Just go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn to sign up. Make every moment more with FanDuel. Finally, last segment coming up next, Locked On Hornets.
This is Locked On Hornets.
And just that I showed any kind of vulnerability, think Nod is just going to jump.
You are
over.
The gazelle limping through the African safari.
I'm in the mud. Yeah. I'm in some sticky mud.
You are the hippo stuck in the mud.
yes. And I'm about to just get destroyed by Nas, or by Nod's
by Nas.
By Nas. He's going to come out with me a rap battle.
It's time for more of the Locked On Hornets podcast.
Let's get to the Kobe Simmons stats, and then let's get to the sneaker peek here. What you got for us, Doug?
Well, I thought we'd do a little Price is Right game. Have you two guess? Because I have his total. No, he has scored a point in the NBA. He scored more than that. So there's a clue right there. Okay. I thought we'd do a little Price is Right game. Since David is a guest, he can go first. Or is it better to go first or last on Price is Right in terms of the bidding game that they open?
It's last because then you can do the whole dollar more.
Right. Yeah, so Price is Right rules can't go over. So Walker, you'll go first and David will go second.
Okay, whatever puts me at a disadvantage. So, okay, so 32 games. We're talking about what, like possibly 40 total?
33 games. He played one game with Cleveland, 32 with Memphis.
Total points here? Yeah. Okay, I'm going to go with... I'm going to go 47. Give me 47 points.
Okay, David?
That's too much.
I'm going with $1.
Yeah, God, yeah, it's too much. 47 is too much.
And the winner is Walker Mail.
Okay, all right.
196 points.
I don't remember him doing stuff like that at all.
I'll give you some more stats. He shot 42% from the field. That's not great. Not terrible, but not great. 28% from three on 39 attempts. He was 11 of 39 from three. That's not great as well. But did hit all 25 of his free throw attempts. He is a perfect 25 for 25 from the line.
Wow.
And you know,
that's how
you know, if he gets on the floor and gets to the line, Eric Collins will have that stat locked and loaded.
Well, he knows his blood type, no doubt about it. Kobe Simmons going to the foul line. I'm ready for that, man. I'm excited. All right, David, sneaker peek, baby. What you got for us? What'd you do last night?
Guys, I saw the premiere of Air, the new movie about Nike's pursuit of Michael Jordan, starring Ben Affleck, Matt Damon, Jason Bateman. Yeah, that's right. Chris Tucker, you know, and
Viola
it was
Davis is in there.
Viola Davis. Oh my gosh, I can't believe this. I'll left her out there.
When I think Viola Lynn. Davis, I think gravitas. She has a gravitas about her.
Well, I'm sure you've heard the story by now. They're all over pubbing this thing. But MJ, you know, that was his one stipulation. That was his one request because he is not part
Viola
of the
Davis?
Making of this. Yes,
it was.
Yeah. Wow.
Viola cool. Davis. He wanted her. There was only one person to play his mom, Dolores Jordan, and it was Viola Davis.
That's
and at the time, I believe Ben Affleck was like, "She has one line. Like, I don't know how we're going to do this."
He's so like, "Deal or no deal."
Yeah, they beefed up that part, and she's tremendous in it. Of course, Matt Damon also tremendous in it. But I don't want to give too much away, considering that this is all true and factual and has already happened, and everyone knows the history of it. But
well, they got the deal done, right? Did they get the? Just tell us that if they got the deal done.
It was touch and go, but yeah, they did. They really did. It moves, guys. Doug, I think you're going to appreciate this movie. You know, Ben Affleck knows how to make movies. I'm just going to come out and say that off the road.
I will not argue with that. He is
a movie maker. Damon
better movie maker or movie star, do you think? I mean, I kind of think he's pretty close to being a better movie maker. I mean, Argo.
The movies that he is behind the camera on, I think his percentage is higher, right? Than the
right,
movie that
saying.
He is in front of says. So
more efficient. Yeah, look at the advanced stats on,
exactly.
on Ben Affleck's movie making.
But this thing comes in at a crisp 112 minutes and it moves. I mean, they don't hang on a lot. It starts right in the offices of Nike. Before you know it, you're in Wilmington, North Carolina. And so he's talking with all the players. Michael himself is not in the movie. He is kind of an overarching shadow. They have a guy that looks exactly like him, from behind walking through the halls of Nike a couple of times. But that's all you get from Michael Jordan. I think there's maybe two words that he says in there. But they go through the whole thing, and it's really about their pursuit of him. It's very on the business side. It's very deal-making, you know, a lot of phone calls. But the cast is fantastic. It's fast paced. It moves along. A lot of needle drops. I mean, almost every hit you could imagine from the 80s is dropped in this thing. Some may say too much, but I don't think you can ever have too much upbeat 80s pop music thrown in there. And so it was fun. You know, I obviously knew a lot of the history behind how MJ got to Nike, what they were doing, his preferences at the time. And they've got the meetings they took with Adidas, the meetings they took with Converse.
Adidas.
And it's yes. And it's a great time. It's a great time of the movies. Even if you don't know sneakers, I took my wife. She's on the outside. You know, she's starting to get into the Dunks. She knows, you know, obviously I've got a few pairs hidden here and there. But like after the movie,
this is interesting. Did you have to sell her on shoes at some point? I mean, have you ever, has she been generally uninterested yeah. or is there like a secret resentment of the shoes or was there a selling process of like, hey, you know, yeah, check these out.
Yeah. I mean, after, you know, 20, 25 years, she was like, okay, they're not going to stop coming. I guess, we could slow it down just a little bit, but she's never been like a sneaker person, a sneaker right. head, if you will. Like I said, she's getting into the Dunks a little bit now. I've gotten her a few low top Jordans, just like I've done with Walker, you know, just helping people out, just bring 100%. People into the fold.
Yeah, you absolutely facilitated that.
But I'm telling you, man, tears a couple times. And
wow.
at the end of the movie,
okay.
at the end of the movie, she goes, I get you. I understand you more now. So that was for me.
Air saved David Walker's marriage.
I was about to say. Yeah. Thank you, Ben Affleck.
But yeah, exactly. Appreciate you. But they really hit on how big of a role his mom played, Dolores. It's all about Sonny Vaccaro and his relationship with Nike and Phil Knight, what he had to go through, the stuff that he pushed Nike for to sign Michael Jordan. So like it's a great movie. They don't go, what I was afraid was they would get too nerdy, too sneakerhead geeky within some of the details, which would just bring backlash, you know, and they don't do that. That's really, they show the shoe at one point, but they don't go, you know, super detailing it to where I think a lot of the sneaker community would get angry and start, you know, pounding the table that they got some stuff wrong. So two thumbs up, way up. I'll see it again. I'll see it again for sure.
Well, and that Viola Davis story real quickly, because Matt Damon told it on Dan Patrick. He was saying, mm-hmm. okay, when he was talking to Michael Jordan, Michael said, you know, I want my mom to have a strong presence in it. And he said, okay, well, who were you thinking before he got it out of his mouth? Michael said Viola Davis. So then he goes back to Ben Affleck and he says, okay, I've got great news, I've got bad news. The good news is Michael Jordan's full go. He wants his mom to have a bigger presence. All right, that's great. It's like, what's the bad news? Well, the problem is we have to get Viola Davis and nobody else. So if she doesn't get it done or she doesn't want to do it, then I don't know what to do here. So that was fortunate, I guess, for them that she decided to go ahead with
it. Yeah, they beefed up a role. I mean, do you give MJ some props on that, Doug? I mean, it's not like you wouldn't know who Viola Davis is, but I mean, we don't know. Well, sometimes listen, we don't know what MJ knows. You know, we don't know what he does with his time.
Well, I don't know. I mean, we know from his days as a player in Chicago that he's very good at making other people spend money. He's not. He hasn't been as good at spending his own money.
Well, so don't tell me he doesn't know talent. That was the one name he came out with.
Right.
That's the whole thing, though. When he, I mean, Campbell I think Walker it really does. I think it really is a part of this team sales story, and his story is as a governor of the Charlotte Bobcats / Hornets, is that, and his time in Washington too. I think you can wrap it all up into this idea that as a player, when he was directly involved in the on-court product, day in, day out, was in practice, he was great at saying, here's what I need right now in this moment. Go get me that thing. But as someone in the front office looking down from the suite, he hasn't been as good at evaluating the talent that his players need and of going out and getting that talent with his own money. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of
And I will say, just a little small spoiler alert, just so no one gets angry, no one from the Observer perhaps gets upset. No mention of the Hornets, no mention of the Bobcats or his ownership. It's solely this pursuit in the 80s. So everybody just, you know, sorry. But no mention of that.
Might be best, honestly. Yeah.
It really did not fit the narrative. I will say that.
I was gonna say.
Maybe in the extras. Maybe in the DVD extras.
All right. That is the Caesar of Sneakers Peaks right there. David Walker joining us. Doug Branson, find his work on his Substack, everyhornetsboxscore.com. And listen to me on WFNZ from 12 to 3 every single weekday. Thanks for making us your first listen with Locked On Hornets. Make your second listen Game to Game NBA every moment, every top performance, every result. Locked On Game to Game covers every game from across the league with local analysis that only Locked On can deliver. Follow Game to Game on Locked On NBA, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcast. Have a great rest of your day. We'll be back with you tomorrow.